to El Dorado. I don't know if y'all saw that first little bit. It says the road to El Dorado is paved with life change. As our church is plodding down this path of making a transition to a different piece of ground, it'll still take like a year to build it or whatever. We have been cognizant that we wanted to present all of these opportunities before you and really talk about what it means to go down the road to El Dorado. I think that today's message, I've entitled it a way or a path that you never, you have never been this way before. I forgot my title. You have never been this way before. And we started in Joshua at this year's men's conference. And then last week we talked about Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. We're going to be picking up that story this week. And I wanted to kind of explain, especially if you're a guest in here, when we talk about the road to El Dorado, it's literally that road down there called El Dorado. And there's a piece of ground that we feel like God has moved us to that we bought last year or this year. And I was thinking, for Joshua, there was really so many striking similarities. And I think that they parallel all of our paths when it comes to life decisions. And that's the great thing about the Bible, is that it's so applicable in every area of our lives. And I was thinking about Joshua is trying to move out of one season, and he's trying to move into a new season. And as we get older and, you know, our kids, this year I got one going off to college, and that's an interesting new season. All the collegiate parents in here, would you agree that's when they leave? Like, I'm sure there's some excitement maybe, but for me, we're really good friends, my son and I. So I don't know, it just feels weird that he's going to be gone. And then I got another son, my middle son, who started preaching this summer and did better in his first sermon than I did. I will tell you that. And so I didn't see that for that one. So like, okay, if he wants to do that, I'm okay with it. And then my son, my youngest one, Silas, he's starting middle school. So now I don't really have any babies. They're all bigger than Carrie now. So. Apparently, he was teaching in GM Kids this morning, the little kids, and was dropping some wisdom on them. I was like, what? And so, apparently, 11 years old, ready to teach. And so, I was just thinking about all the seasons and how our lives have changed over the last 17 years. And I'm sure that for those of you that have been here a minute, that your lives have gone through similar trials and travails. You know, we've gone through losses together, we've gone through wins together, and all the ups and downs of life. And really, at Genesis Metro, it's one metric that we're looking at, and that is life change. You know, the road to El Dorado is paved with life change. And we even started last summer, we did a sermon class on how to preach and how to do that craft for aspiring speakers. And we picked up round two, level two, this last week. And as I was sitting in the room, we were just talking about, you know, the nuts and bolts of the mentality of a preacher. And I asked them a pointed question. And I said, you know, if you preached a great sermon and everyone walked by you or texted you and they said, man, that was a great sermon, but no life change happened for the participant, would it be enough for you to have preached a great sermon without there being life change to go with it? See, it's not satisfactory to be a great orator or to put together some points or for even people to applaud you and say great sermon. Because if it doesn't get to the point that God does a work in someone's life, then is it a great sermon? So for us, the road to El Dorado means that we create an atmosphere, whether it's the people outside, the people inside, any ministry in this building, and that those ministries create one message, and that is that we want to give you God's will for your life, God's word for your life, and as you respond to that, we believe that your life changes. And that is what the road to El Dorado looks like, is that life change will continue to happen from generation to generation, from new people coming in and participating in this kingdom building process. And so today, as we transition over to this Road to El Dorado message, I'm going to get my title again, You Have Never Been This Way Before. I wanted to start thinking about seasons in your life in which you don't know which way to go. And I don't know if this is kind of comprehensive of everyone in this room, but I think that we always have some areas in our life in which we're pondering which path to take, or which tool should I use to try to work on that thing. Would you guys say that you can all relate that we always have something that we're working on or trying to figure out? By show of hands, would you guys agree with that? Yeah, I think that's true. We never reach perfection. And then have you ever noticed that some of those bad habits will jump up and grab you every now and then? Anybody ever notice that? Like you think you got something mastered and then you realize, no, I don't. As we think about Joshua trying to take over for Moses, we're going to read this text and he's trying to figure out, how can I lead these people? And God is giving him a simplistic way that I can guarantee you before the end of today's message that whatever area you're working on, if you want to know how to go through the process of making the right decision and know that you made the right decision, not hope that you made the right decision, these simple four verses are going to answer that dilemma. It says, after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, when you see, if you've seen Indiana Jones, all right, when you see that golden box with angels' wings folded on both sides that contains the Ten Commandments and the Aaron's staff is in, I mean, all of the crazy stuff that's in there, is when you see this object represents God's presence on earth, when you see that, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Step one to figuring out which way to go. Step one, how does Genesis Metro get to the other side? I think that we have to follow the same plan that has always been the plan. It's simply when God moves, you move. We can't make it any simpler. God says, when I move, when you see me move, then you need to get ready to move. You need to get up from where you're at and you need to follow my presence. Whenever I think about locating his presence in my life, I was thinking about whenever I go to a big sporting venue, and I don't know if this is true of everyone, but this is what happens with me, but I will go to, let's say, a Cowboys game, right? The Holy of Holies. And you're down there at Jerry World, and let's say that you know some of your friends are there, because chances are, in this area, you know someone that's there. And so you hear they're there, or they text you, and they said, we'll be there. And I don't know if anybody else does this, but my family 100% does this. And so, like, we're there, and, like, someone will begin telling you where they are. And apparently, in my mind, I have to locate them as to where they are in this monstrosity of a building. And so I'm, like, you know, looking in between plays or the commercial breaks, and eventually they'll give me a landmark, right? It's like, well, okay, do you see the Dr. Pepper sign? And I'm like, yeah, okay, Dr. Pepper sign. We're like 3 rows down, 3 seats in, red shirt. I'm like, okay, 3 rows down. And then, like, you see a little speck down there. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? And they're like, And you're like, and it means absolutely nothing that you now know where each other are in the same room. Has anybody else ever done this? You know what I'm talking about? It's just a funny thing, but I was thinking about that in terms of this, when God moves, you move, that the only way that I can find them in the midst of all of the people and the monstrosity of the building that I'm in is that they have to tell me where they are in relation to something bigger than themselves, something bolder than themselves. And then I can locate them because they're in relation to something bigger. And I'm sure that if you can't already preach this message in your mind, then you need to go to preacher class. Okay? How do you locate his will in your life? Can you see your decision making in relation to something bigger, something bolder. He said, you are to move in relation to my presence. And so we need to begin thinking about, it's so easy with life that we get caught up in all of these other things and we forget to locate his presence. If you're gonna make a decision for your marriage, is his presence, like, did you locate, did you relate to his presence before you made that decision? Have you ever gotten into an argument with your spouse or your boss in which his presence wasn't in the middle of that argument? Anybody? Anybody? How'd that go? Have you ever had to go back and apologize to your kids because the overflow of all the chaos of your life ended in the dirty clothes being on the floor or the trash not being taken out, and it was appropriate that they got in trouble, but you ramped it up to a 10 because of all the other things, and it just came spewing out, and you had to go back to them later and say, oh, you know what? We need to follow the rule, but I need to say I'm sorry. I went a little too far on the words that I used to describe a level 4 offense. I went to a level 10 word. Has anybody else ever had to do that? It's because we're moving with our relationship to his presence. In the Old Testament, the ark was the biggest, boldest representation of God's presence on the planet. And they weren't allowed to move unless they were in relationship to it. I just want you to begin to analyze, introspect, where is his presence in the most important things in your life? And if I can't locate you in the crowd because you're not near his presence, then I can tell you there's a lot of pain that is a result. There's a lot of missteps that are taken. You know, the great thing about Christianity is that we can begin to move in unison because we're both operating in relationship to his presence. A marriage where both people are operating in relationship to his presence, they'll always make it over to the other side. He said, when I move, you move. And then he said, there's certain people that I've picked. They were called the Levites. They were going to bear the weight of God's presence. They were going to carry this ark, okay? Now, if you don't know Old Testament trivia, later on, the ark is gonna get captured, and the people thought they had captured the ark, but it turned out it went terrible for them, and God began to smite them with hemorrhoids. Go look that up. And so they gave it back after that. And so when they went down to pick it up, it says that they had it on a cart and they were supposed to carry it a very specific way, and the ark bobbled and a guy reached up and put his hand to stabilize it. And guess what you're not supposed to do? Y'all, you don't touch it. And when he got touched it, he fell down dead. How would you like to have the job of bearing the weight of God's presence? And all the leaders in here, Sisterhood Retreat just around the corner. Man, Uprising, I think we took like 100+ guys through leadership training. Next week, I think it's our life group leader training plus our ministry heads going over our vision and values from the coffee bar to the parking lot. Man, so much weight. And you, if you've never led in ministry before, if you haven't led a life group or a group at retreat, you really don't understand the weight until you get in the room and all the eyes, right, are looking at you. Like, they're gonna bare their soul and then look at, they're gonna pivot and like, so what do I do with that? And you're like, you know, there's a weight when others' lives are riding on your answers. And here are these Levites getting ready to bear the weight of God's presence. Isn't it interesting that God restricts the movement of his presence to leaders bearing the weight of his presence? That in order for his presence to move, someone has to pick up that weight. God has self-imposed this restriction on his presence, that He invites all of us that are sitting in this room today to bear the weight of his presence. And what does that do? That allows other people to see how they need to move, how they need to change, how they need to redirect their lives, all as a result of you being willing to pick it up so that they can see clearly the next steps in their path. I was reminded whenever I was growing up, I was thinking about in Oklahoma, we had real winter. Anybody else come from a winter environment where you have snow? Now, we didn't have like Iowa shut everything down snow, okay? But we had like 1, 2 foot, 3 foot sometimes of snow that would accumulate. And I remember as a little kid, I would go to my back door and I had one of those glass sliding doors. Anybody remember those? Anyway, and so and I would look out and it was just perfectly flat, right? And you're like, oh, untouched snow. And my dad would get up and he would take us out there and we were going to build a snowman. Now, you know, my dad, we're Oklahoma people, you know, so my dad had on like boots and cut off jean shorts, no shirt and a pair of gloves, okay? And so it's Oklahoma, it's what we do. And so he would go out there and I remember that his stride was different than my stride. And I thought there was a little bit of an application that was available here is that God's stride is different than our stride. And that his stride is always going to stretch us if we want to lead other people in the process. And I remember that his footsteps, that they would be spread out so much that I would kind of, anybody ever remember doing this when you're like, I kind of have to jump as a little kid in order to stay in his footsteps. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because I had on these shoes and the snow would get in, I would start sinking or I'd get bogged down. And I wanted to be able to stay out there and play as long as I possibly could. I wanted you to start thinking about how his stride is not your stride. And if you want to stride with God, you're going to have to be stretched. How that you're going to have to intentionally jump to get into that next footstep. Because the result of not striding with him, the result of not stretching with him, is that you begin to sink and you begin to get bogged down. I don't think there's very many people in here that don't want to see God do incredible things in your life. I don't think there's a father or a mother that doesn't want God to do incredible things with their kids and with their marriage and with their family. We all want that. But have you ever found that it doesn't take very much of life, of chaos, of stress, of money, whatever it is, and then you like you just don't want to stretch. Like one day you're like, I don't need his presence today, or you just forget to have his presence with you that day, and then that day turns into a week, and that turns into a month, and that turns into a man, you don't want to sink. You don't want to get stuck. How do we get out? At some point, we need to find his presence, locate it, and then our lives need to be lived in relationship to it. He says, when I move, you move, and then this will happen. He said, you will know the way to go, since you have never been this way before, but keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Man. He says, I want you, that last phrase, the distance between the ark, he says, I want you to build your plan around my presence. You see, if they're moving 1 million people across this river, then there has to be space for people to be able to see the ark and the Levites holding it out in the middle. And I don't know if you've ever been to an event where someone is obscuring your vision. Is anybody ever, like, that is annoying. Anybody ever seen like a guy wearing a big old hat or something like that? And like, they're just like, you're trying to watch this movie and it's so frustrating, right? It's like that person has to be, I had a guy right down here. Okay, this got personal just now, okay? Stream of consciousness moment. This is not in the outline. I was pulling out of the Little Elm boat ramp, and this guy, you know how like you can't, you gotta be able to see right. Does anybody ever do this where it's two lanes pulling out, and you were there first, okay? and someone will just pull up right beside you, and now they're turning right, and you're trying to turn left, and you can't see, and now you're waiting on them, and then they inevitably think they need 2,000 yards of clearance before they can go, and you're like, you just blocked me, and now you're not going. Has anybody else ever have this experience? Gosh. I think of whatever God is saying, this, you personally can't get in the way of them seeing me. Because if you get in the way of them seeing me, then they won't make it to the other side. And so if we do it right, if we preach it right, if we sing it right, if we serve it right, if we give it right, it allows them to see God. And that's what allows them to get to the other side. Boy, every father should be passionate about your family making it to the other side. I wonder if you've given enough space in your house, in your heart, to his presence. Have you given it the place where everyone can readily see his presence in your life? Because if we want those out there to be able to get to the other side, he needs to be so evident in our life that they see his presence. And it's not us that is obscuring the view. It's not our attitude. It's not our greed. It's not our lust. None of that. We can't have, you have to set that aside so they can see him, so that they can know how to get to the other side. I would build your plan for your finances, for your profession, for the company you own. You better build it around him being in the middle of it, because you'll know for sure if you've ever gotten ahead of God. Has anybody ever gotten ahead? Did you ever like go forward and you're like, you know what, we'll work it out. I'm sure God will bless it. Whoa. Listen, there's one plan that he's gonna bless, and it's not your plan. It's his plan. You get that, right? If you ever get ahead of God, you'll mess it all up, I promise you. Build your plan around his presence. He says, then you will know which way to go. I've learned that every season is a segue. A segue. Think about it. The wilderness was about survival. The promised land was about settling. Not as in settling for second or settling for less, but as in settling the wild, wild west, as setting up a home. When you think about the wilderness, it was all about endurance. Can you endure? When we think about the promised land, it's about establishment. It's about a base upon which you're going to build forever. No longer nomads. Whenever we think about our relationship to God, and then if you can take it down to a microcosm of your relationship to God and your marriage, your unit, your concentric circles, this principle holds true across the board, is that you have to be able to take his presence and drive it all the way down in there, so that you're not going with I hope so, you're going with I know so. He says, when my presence is in the right place, then you're not gonna hope you know what you're doing. You're not going to hope you made the right decision. He says, you're going to know which way to go, because it's in relationship to my presence. I want you to think about, if anybody's ever given you advice, do you want to hear your doctor say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da? Well, I mean, at least that's what I think. Does anybody ever had that? Has someone ever given you like expert advice, and then they like throw a little something on the end where you're like, well, I mean, you know, but I mean, that's just what I think. I'm like, whoa. I want you to be the expert right now. It's kind of like someone giving directions. Has any, you ever had the person that's like, it's this one, it's this, right now, exit. And then like you get toward the exit and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Has anybody ever had this? I'm like, well, how did you sound so sure when you really didn't know? He said, the Israelites, you will know which way to go. I fear so many people are going through stressful situations sitting in this room right now because you made the best decision possible without his presence. And at best, you will hope that it works out for the best. Wouldn't you love to transfer that to know? I know I know my marriage is going to work because we're both committed to his presence. I know my money is going to work because I know we're both committed to his presence. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can move from hope so to know so and have the security that knowing those decisions were built around the presence of God. He says, you will know which way to go. It's not that the survival season isn't necessary. If you, I don't even know how to put this in a transparent moment, but like, do you think that, you know what? I think we're authentic at Genesis. Would y'all say that? Anybody that has been married for more than 5 years in here, raise your hands if you've been married for more than 5 years. Okay, okay. Now, all my young people over here, okay? Listen. Raise your hands again if you've been married for more than 5 years. Okay, now, keep your hands up, keep your hands up. If you've been married for more than 5 years, let me ask you a question. Keep your hands up if you went through a survival season in marriage. All right, you can put your hands down. Did you learn something? There's always gonna be a survival season. You gotta push through the survival season if you wanna get to the settling season. You gotta push through the endurance season if you wanna get to the establishment season. I'm telling you that it won't always be easy, but you will know it is the way to go. And then I will wrap it with my title, Since You Have Never Been This Way Before. This is the God part about Christianity. And I don't know if you've ever like thought about it. As a preacher, I nerd out about these things. And I think like what separates Christianity from like AAA or, you know, Republicans or Democrats or some other celeb cause where you pour ice water on your head or, you know, what is there something different that distinguishes us as Christians that is different than just good causes? It's the God part of the equation. There's no other thing that you'll be a part of as a like a group. There's no other relationship that you'll ever have that has this part of the equation, the God part of the equation. He said, Joshua, I'm gonna take you away that you've never been before. As a matter of fact, when we extrapolate it out, I'm gonna take you away that no one's ever been before. And I started thinking, man, I'm inspired. Because he was telling him, you can't take old information and replace today's inspiration. Like you can't run the old playbook. Your old playbook is outdated when it comes to what God wants you to do right now. Moses' miracle was not gonna work for Joshua's Jordan. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't Elijah's, it wasn't Abraham's, it wasn't Joseph's, it, nobody else's information in the past, no past experience, no person. There wasn't a guy like the Jordan River Authority that was like, oh yeah, we had a group come by last week, the Jebusites, and he usually parts it right over there. So if I were you, I'd just get ready, this little section, he parts it, and then this nation walked across. That's kind of the way it was. No point of reference for the path he was getting ready to create. How important is it for you to know where God's presence is in your life? So many people are trying to figure out their place in life. And God is saying, no, you need to figure out where my presence is. And then you'll know where your place in life is. I'm telling you right now, you better know where he is. And then you better follow him where he's going. Because, hey, you've never been this way before. You know how you get stuck in a season? It's because you take the playbook that mom and dad ran when you were that age, right? You ever go to counseling, they're gonna ask you in the first three questions, so how did your mom and dad, like how did they resolve conflict? How'd that work out? Da, 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 da. They're gonna ask you about the old playbook. And then like as you go through life, you kind of develop your own systems. And you say, well, it worked over here, so it'll work over here. What pattern, what process was going to part the Jordan River and allow them to walk across on dry ground? Nothing. There was no point of information that was going to help Joshua. He had to be dependent upon God making a way. My encouragement to you is this. You haven't even thought about the way he's going to make for you. You're standing at the edge of your river, and I'm telling you, some of you pride yourself on thinking things to death. Raise your hands if you're a thinking to death person. Just raise them up. I'm going to set you free today, okay? Listen. If you sat there with those people and said, you get 1,000 guesses how we're crossing this river tomorrow, not one of them was coming up with, well, the waters are going to part, and we're going to take that ark, and we're going to put it out there, and we're just going to move across there in an orderly fashion. No! No one was coming up with that plan. You don't have this plan. You can't unlock this path. Only he can make the way where there is no other way. But the good news is you got stuff locked up inside of you because of past hurt, prisons that you're in, and you have never been able to move from that season to that season. You haven't been able to move from that side to the other side. And the reason why is you keep on depending on the old playbook that has worked great in a lot of areas. But I'll tell you this, you can't get to God's promised land without God's plan today. Not old information, today's inspiration, and it's customized. Whenever Moses crossed over, they didn't carry the ark out there. This was a unique plan for a unique person. Every generation has to have their inspiration for God's will. He customizes it just for you. Do you think you should want to know what that is? Do you think you need to figure out where that is? Today, as you think about your life, where is his presence? Are you building it around his presence? Man, I want every family sitting in this room to make it to the other side. And I hope that you get so passionate about his presence in your life that you want others, as a result of how you show him off, that you begin to inspire them to get to the other side. That's what builds the church. It's not marketing. It's not throwing money. It's not a new building. It's us showing off God. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you take your word and that you help us all, God. Oh, I know I'm preaching today. I know there's someone sitting in indecision trying to figure it out. You've been trying to figure it out. Let me hit this one. You've been trying to figure them out. How'd that hit someone? Did you figure them out yet? You know that boss, you just can't figure him out, can you? You know that spouse? You know that kid, that second, third born, you just can't figure them out. What if it wasn't up to you this morning to figure it out? Would that set you free? What if you just stood at the edge of the river and you said, I'm gonna wait for God's presence to move, and then when he moves, I'm gonna move, and I'm gonna trust that somehow, some way, he's gonna make a way where there's not a way, and he's going to get me to the other side. I believe that this sounds an awful lot like the gospel of Jesus Christ, because I'm sure the disciples did not know the way that story was going to end. When he died on that cross and they took his broken, bloody body down and they put it in a borrowed tomb, there wasn't one of them that was thinking 3 days from now, he's gonna get up on the other side, because God made a way where there wasn't a way, and the church said amen. Put your hands together, stand up on your feet, let's drop some chains on the ground, and let's let grace hold us now. Anybody?